Great. Good morning again. Just before Alvin brings us the first reading, I just want to play a little game of word association. So, you know that where somebody says something and the first word that comes into your mind, you have to, what is it? Okay. So, I'm going to put four things up, which are kind of related. So, first thing that comes into your mind when you, church. What's the word you associate with church? You can call them out if you like. People, yeah, good.
Preach.
Pardon?
Preach.
Preach. Okay, good. Okay. what did you say?
Paul.
Yeah, great. church service or a church group. Meet during the week. Might be all sorts of different ages. We do Lighthouse and SOS and Splat and home groups and prayer meetings and so on. Or just being part of a church. What's the word that you associate with that? When you hear those things, what goes in your head? We'll just put those down to the bottom. And here is what the word that our passage is going to teach us is the word we should have. Now that might feel a million miles away from reality. Okay, look. Clearly by looking at you. But that's what our passage is going to teach us. So as Alvin comes and reads to us, I want us to think, I want us to spot in the reading, where does this joy lie? Where do we find this joy? What is it that brings joy in the passage? Why are the people so joyful in the passage? What is it that's happening that they love so much that they are full of joy? Elvin.
Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Nehemiah and chapter 8, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. And all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men and women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. And Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on the right stood Matthiah, Shemaiah, Ananiah, Uriah, Hithakah, Mazariah. And on his left were Padiah, Messiah, and Machajah, Hashum, Hasumdarna, and Zeraniah, and Masudalam. And Ezra opened the book of the people. All the people could see him, because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Banak, Shemaiah, Jemin, Akabub, Sibariah, and Hodiah, and Manasiah, and Kedah, and Azariah, and Jezabad, and Hanan, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law, which the people were standing there. And they read from the book of the Lord God, making it clear, and giving the meaning, so that the people could understand what was being read. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's carry on at verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Great. So, there's joy in the passage. What is it that causes this joy? Easiest question this morning, so if you're struggling with this one, it's only going to get harder. You'll find it in verse 12. Why are they so joyful? Great joy, joy, joy. What's happened? Pardon?
They had heard God's word.
Yeah, they'd heard God's word and understood it. Okay, so the people of God here in Nehemiah have joy in understanding God's word. That's the root of their joy. That's what they love about what is happening. That God's word is becoming clear to them. So we just need to rewind and think about this story a little bit. I'm going to need some youngsters. There's going to be some activity and various things. We're going to try and build the scene of this chapter. But first of all, can anybody remember where we are? What we're in Jerusalem. We're in the city. And as Peter taught us last week, the city, if you imagine that this is the city and this is the square, the city is where God lives and reigns. It's where God lives with his people and reigns over his people, we learned last week. Okay, and what have they just managed to do with the city wall? They've rebuilt the city wall, haven't they? And they've just finished. Do you remember they even finished the gates of the city? Back in chapter 6, we read these words. So the wall was completed, of this great city where God lives and reigns, and all the surrounding nations were afraid. Those who'd been opposing them, they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So God had finished building the city through his people, and the enemies of God were no threat anymore. So it's the city where God lives and reigns. The enemies are no threat. God had finished it, and the people are in it. So I need some people to come into the city. If you're young, old, all kinds of people, men and women, anybody can come and join in the city here. So just come. Hi, Maggie. Welcome to God's city. Great. Fine. Do you want to stay down there for now? Because there's lots. Oh, thanks, a hula hoop. Thank you very much.
It's a ring.
It's a ring, yeah. I knew them as hula hoops when I was younger. Great. Okay, fine. Now, here they are in the city where God lives and reigns. We're building the picture. What do they want to do? What do they ask for? Right at the beginning of chapter 8. What do they want? It involves a chap named Ezra. Yeah? Yeah, that's right. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses. So Ezra, could you come and join me, please? Here's Ezra. And Ezra's got his book. So here, you keep it. There's the book of the law that Ezra has, and keeps turning up. What happens when Ezra arrives? What does he do, and what do the people do? Go on. You stand on a big wooden platform, don't you? So do you see, they built, just like I've built, a special wooden platform. They built a wooden platform for Ezra to stand on. So the people who wanted the law read were deliberate about preparing for this and getting ready. They got the platform ready. And what did the people do when you were there, end of verse 3. They listened attentively. Now, do any of your parents ever say, "I wish you'd listen"? Did they ever say anything like that? My parents used to say that to me. But so you've got to look like you're really listening attentively. I don't know how you want to do that. You want to show me? Yeah, that's good. That's good, Joanna. That's good. So here we are. We've got Ezra standing up. It's been deliberately prepared. All the people are here for Ezra to read the whole law to God's people in the city where God lives and reigns. How long did Ezra preach for? He started at daybreak and he finished at lunchtime. Yeah, it's about 6 hours. It's at least 6 hours. So Ezra is reading to the people the 6 hours. Now, there's some action now in amongst God's people. So all sit down on the floor. You're going to have to learn this routine. So Ezra opens the book. And the people stand up. Okay. And then, what's he do next? Oh yeah, Ezra praises God. So you can just raise your book up a bit. Yeah, that's good. And the people lift their hands. Okay. Then the people say, "Amen, amen." Okay. And then they bow down to the floor. Back on the floor, face down, bow down, and worship. Okay. Now, we're going to try and run this through so you get a picture. So, you're on the floor. Ezra opens the book. The people stand. Ezra praises God. The people lift their hands and say, "Amen, amen."
Amen, amen.
And then they bow down and worship. Okay, so Ezra opens the book. And the people stand up. Ezra praises God. The people lift their hands and then they bow down. Okay. So when Ezra opens the book, that's a mark of we want to know what's here. We want to know what's in this book. And when the people stand up, that's a mark of being ready for what is in the book. And when God is praised, because it's a mark of thanks to God for what is in the book and for who he is. And the people say, "Amen, amen." So they're saying, "We agree with this. We want this book read. We want to be ready. We thank God and we bow down and honor him. We worship him." Okay? So we're going to run through that again. You ready? Do you know what you're doing now? Do you know what to do when? Okay. Ezra opens the book. The people stand up ready to hear what it said. Ezra praises God, and the people lift their hands and say, "Amen, amen, this is what we want." And then they bow down and worship God. Now it looks like, great, just sit there. You can stay there because it was a long sermon. This is a picture of life in this city. What do you do when the city of God is built, when there is a place to live with God and to be ruled by God? What do you do when you're in that place? Well, you sit ready, attentive to the word, ready to obey, thanking and worshipping God, saying, "Yes, these are the words that we want." And they even had Sunday school teachers to help them understand what was said. There were so many people that there'd be people dotted around talking to folk who didn't get it and say, "No, this is what Ezra means as he reads this part of the law." So God's word ruled over his people. Now, what are you supposed to do on a special day like this? When this sort of thing happens, where the people hear God's word and they love it and they want it and they're happy to obey it, What are you supposed to do? This is the little section about the holy day. Okay, so if you've got a Bible, it's verses 9 following. What are you supposed to do? Celebrate. You see, if I could work out how to put sound on this, we'd now be going, celebrate. We'd be doing that. But I can't. So this is a moment not to grieve or weep, but to celebrate and to have a party with lots of nice food and lots of nice people and to celebrate. I think that's a really interesting thought. People who, the whole Keep Sunday special thing, I'm not sure we were really hitting that note, that holy days are feast days and celebrating days with great people and great food and a great God. That's this day in this city. Now, that's the whole scene of what is going on here. Everything that happens with these people is under the rule of God through his word. The word is central, and that's where the people's joy and celebration comes from. Everything under God's rule, the place where God lives and reigns. God is alive to them, and he rules them through his word, and there is great joy. Joy in understanding God's word. Do you remember these things? Oh, they're a bit faint at the bottom. They're the things we started with. Church, church group, being part of a church, church service. Well, here's why we should have thought joy. Because church is where we love to be ruled by Christ through his word. Church is like being in this city. Church is being in this city, ruled by the word of God. And therefore, as we, what should we do in church then? We open the book, we stand, we praise God and lift our hands, we say amen and amen, this is what we want, and we bow down and honour God for all he is and has done. That's us this morning. It should be. Here we are, gathered together, where we love to be, because we love to be ruled by Christ through his word. That's where joy is to be found. There's no better place to be than in this city of God's people. Safe from our enemies, God being present with us, ruling us by his word. There is no better place to be. So whatever group it is, as part of church in the widest sense, whether it's Lighthouse or SOS or Splat or home group or prayer meeting, or even if it's PCC, then there ought to be this joy because we are under God's word, being ruled by him, understanding his word together so that we know how to live. This joy of the Lord is our strength, as the passage said. We're going to have the second reading, and there is another reason for joy as we listen to the second reading being read, which is Sandra. Hello, Sandra. So look out for the second reason for joy in our passage.
The second reading is Nehemiah chapter 8, and it's verses 13 to 18. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and Levites, gathered round Ezra, the teacher of the law, to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. And they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, from myrtles, palms, and other leafy trees, to make temperate sheaves, as it is written. So the people went out and brought temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festivals for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulations, there was an assembly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sandra. Did you notice at the end of verse 17, and there was very great joy? It's a very peculiar scene, this. Because what happens is they're in this shiny new city, and they decide to go and get some palm leaves and build shelters instead. So you'll notice there are loads of palm leaves around the building. So if the children want to go and collect the palm leaves, we're going to build some shelters. We are. There's this side as well, and at the back, and adults can help. Because this is not a well-planned construction project. Great. So bring some of your palm branches, and your job is to make yourselves some shelter over there with your palm branches. So come up on the top here, and you can just try and. Are you going to use the wall? I don't think you should use the wall. I think you should just try and. Well, maybe if that's easier, make yourselves some shelters with these things. Now, you're beginning to see why this is a really bizarre moment to be overwhelmed with great joy. You've just finished building a great city, and then you spend a week living under temporary shelters that don't offer much cover. They're pretty basic. And yet, as the people do this and live in the city doing this, they express great joy. How are we getting on? Have you given... Lydia's gone back to her chair. No, not, that's not Lydia. Lydia's your mum. great. That's going well over there. Excellent. Good. why on earth are the people so happy while they're doing this? Why are they experiencing so much joy? Well, here's why. Because there is joy in remembering God's kindness. Well, that's a good job, Lydia. That's better than I was expecting. Don't knock it over, mate. Okay, great. Do you want to sit down again, youngsters? Thank you for doing that. You can take that with you, Isaac, if you want. I'll just take the stick because that's a bit. Thank you. Do you want to go find your mum and dad? Yeah, go on, Harriet. Well done, Edward. Why was there so much joy? Because by doing this, they were remembering God's kindness to them. They were living in a new city. Their enemies had been quieted. They were sitting under the law of God. They were with God, and God was ruling over them as his people. And these shelters reminded them that it had not always been like that for them. When they came out of Egypt, they didn't have houses to live in or places to dwell. They had temporary shelters that they took with them. as they moved around. They hadn't always lived in the city where God lives and reigns. They hadn't always been safe from their enemies. They hadn't always been able to build a platform deliberately to be ruled by God as they attentively listened to him. But now they had all that. They had all that safe with God in the city, ruled by him. And they have joy in remembering God's kindness to them as a people. Going back as far as Exodus through Egypt, that's the mention of Joshua, the first celebration of this when they get to the land. But also, these are the people who've just come back from exile. They've been in Babylon for years, away from home, temporary shelters, but now back in the city. And that brings them great joy. Well, do you remember these things again? We are the city, the place where God lives and reigns. Why should we have joy? Well, because the church is where we love to be reminded how kind God is to us in Christ. That's what this festival of booths, if you read the Old Testament law, the festival of shelters, the festival of tabernacles, that's what it's all about. It's remembering that we are not now where we were because of God's kindness to us in Christ. We were in sin, we're now forgiven. We were without hope, we now have certain future. We were lost, but now we've been found. We were dead, but we've been made alive. We were enslaved, but now we are free. One of the things that church does in the city, when we're in that city, is that we love to be reminded how kind God is to us in Christ. So no wonder that there is great, great joy in Jerusalem. And there ought to be great, great joy in any and every church gathering, however big or small, because we have God with us, ruling us by his word, keeping us safe from our enemies, and we are reminding ourselves of how kind he has been to us, from who we were to who we now are, through the cross of the Lord Jesus. There is no better place to be. We so easily forget, though, how good a thing it is to be part of the body of Christ, God's people, his new city, the people of his name. So, church is where we love to be ruled by Christ through his word, and where we love to be reminded how kind God is to us in Christ. Life's still going to be complicated, still going to be hard, it's still going to be confusing. We'll be tempted to find joy in loads of other places. But this is where great joy is found. It's why we ought to love to be part of church together. We ought to love to be ruled by Christ and to be reminded of his grace. And so the passage ends, doesn't it? Ezra keeps going. He keeps reading the law through the whole of the festival. The joy continues. The celebration and party continues. Life continues. And their joy was very great. Let's pray together. Our Father, the Apostle Paul wrote that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would increase our joy, that our joy in you would be our strength, and that, Father, we would understand what a joyful thing it is to be ruled by you through your word, and to be reminded again and again how kind you have been to us in Christ, the one who died and rose again for us. And so, Father, increase our joy, we pray. for the glory of your name. Amen.